I want to turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 90. In the book of Psalms, a very pertinent psalm as far as the season of the year. At this time of the year, we often think of the world's admonition to make New Year's resolutions, what we're going to do the coming year. And the Lord doesn't have that as a admonition in the Word of God to make a New Year's resolution that I've ever found. But in this chapter, he gives an admonition that is found in verse 12, which is kind of the verse I want to work towards and work through. So teach us to number our days, not our years, number our days, that we may apply our hearts, not our heads, to wisdom. There's a great deal of truth there. The Lord breaks down our lives into days. They add up to years, but He has us address them one day at a time. And so if we do according to what the Lord would have us to do each day, the years will take care of themselves, won't they? And so that's the thinking. But as we begin, I want to read these first 12 verses. Might we stand together and read them in unison? And let's remember that which Dr. Strauss has taught us concerning titles, so-called, in the Psalms. They are part of the Scripture. Let's read that as part of the first verse. In Psalm 90, verse 1, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hadst formed the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? We begin this morning. Father, we're thankful that we have the grace and the mercy that you have promised to uphold us in times of trial and trouble, times of decision-making, that which we have to do even in this day. Might it be that which we would have put in your hands and ask you for the wisdom that you could apply it to our hearts. that which we can rest upon in the days ahead as we look forward to the time before your coming, that we could apply our hearts unto wisdom. Thankful that you've brought out each one this morning with the impending weather. We're thankful that you've laid it upon the hearts of each one to be here. We pray that they would be blessed for that which the Word of God can impart, that you would use the time here wisely, and we're thankful that you've given us the promise that you would care for our needs. We pray for those old and young alike that have special needs, for those who, due to illness, could not be here today, and pray for Jeff and his needs and that which you promised to provide. Might he have wisdom in seeking out the help for his health that he needs. Provide also for the Vassers. We're thankful that they came out this morning, and pray that you would help Dorothy to continue to gain strength. Bless the time now in the Word. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. It's something that this psalm is entitled by the man who wrote it, A Prayer of Moses. And he's given the honor of being called the man of God. Moses lived about 3,500 years ago. And he lived in a time that was unique to God's people, Israel, in that he was the one whom God chose and prepared to lead from Egypt into the land that had promised to his forefathers. And he's called the man of God, which not only Israel looks back to as being one of the great men of God in their lineage, but all of Christendom does as well. This is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Certainly it was written when he was much older than the fourscore of verse 10. He lived 30 years in and around the palace in Egypt, and was learned in all of the things that Egypt could expound and give. He lived in the time of the greatest glory and power of the Egyptian Empire in all of history. And 40 years he was taught there. But the next 40 years he spent herding a man's sheep that became his father-in-law in the backside of the desert. And this was no less preparation than the 40 years of training that he received in Egypt, because he learned that which it would take in caring for that livestock, the patience and the concern to care for God's people that were even more hard to deal with by far than the sheep that he had to deal with. If there's one thing about a sheep that is out in the open country, is there isn't another animal more helpless than they, more in need of care and direction. And constantly this is the case. So the Lord prepared him for 80 years, and this psalm most certainly was written after all of that preparation. Probably close to the end of his 40 years of leading God's people Israel. So that 10th verse, the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. When we depart this body and this earth, it's spoken of as being cut off and departing away, flying away. The body goes back to dust at our death, but our soul and spirit return unto God who gave it. And that's why he said we fly away. And the prayer of Moses, the man of God, starts out by saying that, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. The generations before Moses, some very prominent men, one of which was Abraham. Moses was the human writer of the first 5 books of the Bible. He most certainly, in this prayer, was thinking of the dwelling place in all generations, of being the generations from Adam and Eve down to his time. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in every one of those generations. Some 3,500 years later, we're living in a generation that the Lord is our dwelling place, just as much as it was in the days of Moses or Abraham or Noah or Enoch or Adam or any of those men that have been outlined in the scriptures. Our dwelling place, is God your dwelling place when you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Then He is your dwelling place. I think of the New Testament passage that very fittingly addresses this in John chapter 15. If you look in that passage of Scripture for just a second, keep your finger back there in chapter 90 of Psalms. Jesus spoke in John 15 of being the true vine, his Father the husbandman, and we the branches. And in verse 4, he says, abide in me, and I in you. That's dwelling with the Lord. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. When we finish our time on earth and are taken back to the Lord, returned to Him, that which has been our dwelling place and our abiding will abide through that time. That which is apart from that will be left behind. That's how this man of God was thinking. as he prayed to the Lord. He was thinking of dwelling with the Lord through all generations. Then he makes a statement in his prayer and thinks upon the truth of the second verse, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Several statements there. Before the earth was formed, he was speaking about the one who formed it. Lord, you're the one who formed it. And before you ever did, you came from eternity past. You're going to eternity future. And you're God of every generation in between. See that? If you start out a prayer in that manner, it should prepare your heart to be applying wisdom. But, Brother Mark brought this morning in Sunday school is very fitting. The book of Philippians, I believe, is a revelation of the Christian mind. Every chapter refers to the mind in the book of Philippians. And the mind is the door to the heart. We receive information into our mind, but with our heart, we make decisions. We cannot make right decisions without that right information of the Word in our mind, first of all. Then our heart can deal with that. So both are important, both the mind and the heart. But the prayer of the man of God here is aimed towards the heart, but it's bringing truths into our mind that can trigger that heart to make those heart decisions that our dwelling place in all generations is with the Lord. What does that do to affect me, you see? When we contemplate all of the generations from the very beginning, Adam, and those records that deal and we can grasp with our mind of what these men lived and did in dwelling with God, then that can affect our heart, you see. Because what God carried out in the heart of those past generations that dwelt with Him, He can so do with our generation. He is no less God today than He was then. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And so, this third verse is a puzzler until you can get into the Hebrew that it was translated from. I don't have enough Hebrew to say so. But Dr. Strauss does. And as I was preparing for this, one day I said, I got a question. And I said, show me what the Hebrew says in this third verse. Because I said in the English, it doesn't sound right. It's contrary in English here to the very nature of God. Thou turnest man to destruction. The scriptures say that Jesus Christ tempts no man to do evil. He doesn't turn any man to destruction. That's contrary to the very attributes that God is. So I knew there had to be something different. Well, I'd already looked at the words, and I found that the word destruction is used seldom in the scripture here, that particular Hebrew word, but it means to be contrite or turn to contrition. And the meaning of contrition is broken down with sorrow for sin. And the Hebrew word that is translated turnest and return in the same verse is the same word. So the Lord, they properly translated it in English, thou turnest man to being sorrowful for sin. And then sayest to man, return, ye children of men, return to him. When you're broken down with sorrow for your sin, the Lord turns you and wants you to return to him. And see, this was on the heart of this man of God. The children of Israel in the wilderness rebelled and were hardened against the Lord for 40 years. And he wanted, his prayer was to turn their heart to being sorrowful for their sin and return unto the Lord. See how this fits in to what he is revealing here. Tremendous truth. When you see what the Lord's actually saying. See what a blessing there is to have access to those original languages. And it isn't that they didn't translate it rightly, it's just that when we see, thou turnest man to destruction, oh, immediately, how in the world could this be? You know, I mean, we read into it what we think instead of what could God be saying here? But anyway, I'm thankful that we have a pastor that has so much of the Word of God in his mind and heart to help us in these times. This fourth verse, for 1,000 years in his sight, in God's sight, since he's from everlasting to everlasting, he's a God to all generations, he's turning men to be sorrowful for their sin and desiring them to return unto him. 1,000 years of this in God's sight are as yesterday when it is past. Yesterday, when it is past, sometimes is real fresh in our mind. But it's past. And for the Lord, 1,000 times 360 is as yesterday when it's past to us. As a watch in the night. I know some of the men that have been in the service know what a watch in the night is. It goes by, and yeah, it was over with. Another one coming tonight. This is but a watch in the night. And then he gives further description, I believe, of that which the Lord, in his sight, looking down upon the passing generation after generation after generation. And he says, thou carriest them away as with a flood. Our lives pass away, and the Lord observes, and things just as a flood of waters, you're just swept along. Time goes on and on and on. And yet the Lord observes it all, is concerned about it all, and deals individually with each individual in each generation far beyond our comprehension of his involvement in our lives. Why are we here today? What forces did the Lord bring to pass in our lives that we're here today? We have no idea. We have a little inkling of some things, but very little of the whole picture. And so, we are as asleep in the morning. That goes by fast. As grass which groweth up in the morning, it flourisheth, and groweth up in the evening, it is cut down and withereth. If you ever cut down grass with a mowing machine, scythe or whatever, it doesn't take long for it to wither. It's luxuriant until it's cut off. Our lives blossom, and there's much that is exposed. But after a few years, it isn't so vibrant, is it? The strength of young men is their glory, but the glory of the old man is a gray head. There's no strength left to brag about. We are consumed in verse 7 by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. So here this man of God, Moses, most certainly writing this during the time of his leading of the people of Israel in the wilderness that were constantly in denial of God's care for them, continuing care for them, he very certainly was thinking about the anger of the Lord with these people, with all of us that so often are not trusting in the Lord's provision. We think we can handle it. If it doesn't turn out right, Lord, why are you throwing all this at me? There's no trial that he has given us, but such as is common to man. But he is faithful, that will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Do you believe that? Amen. When you need it. Amen. That's the thing. We are consumed in anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. When things are going good, it's easy to say, I'm trusting the Lord. But when you're without a job, when you wonder how you're going to have enough to pay for the bills coming up, do you still trust Him? That's when it really counts, isn't it? And that's where we fall down a lot of times, all of us. And verse 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. So he's acknowledging that the Lord knows and is looking, revealed to him, everything that happens in our life. Each one of us, those things that are, we think, secret are not secret to the Lord. But do we always think about that? This is the prayer of the man of God for these people, for the people that God has said, you've got to lead them. The 40 years of leading those sheep the backside of the desert, he needed every one of those years to prepare him to lead these people. My thinking is that if Moses could have learned what he needed to learn in less time, that's all the time the Lord would have had him in the desert. He had him there as long as he knew he needed to have that kind of training. And so it is with us. We may spend many years learning some things. When we finally get it, the Lord allows us to go from there. There's some things that I want to get to here in verses 9 through 12. There's some truth here that is very important. We have man's position in verses 5 through 8. And we have man's days in verses 9 through 12. Our position was sinners, not being able to think in years and all that we're going to do, being that which is getting old and withered and not as useful as we were when we're young. But in chapter, in verse 9 through 12, all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Our life can be explained in years pretty simply. But if you tried to explain my life by the days in which I lived, it wouldn't be like a tale that is told. It would be not organized, would it? Because different things happen different days. Very significant things some days, seemingly insignificant other days. You can't tell about that so easily. And so, the days of our years in verse 10 are 70 years and 10. That was true 3,500 years ago. And much different today, is it?
Amen.
and it's by reason of strength, fourscore years. Well, the Vassars and my wife and I have a few years on top of the fourscore. But it makes us realize the kind of maybe limited, because this is what the Lord said that long ago, and it's still kind of true today. I think of Solomon when he was anointed king and the Lord appeared to him and promised him to give whatever he asked. He asked for wisdom to lead this people so great. And the Lord said to Solomon, I will give you wisdom such as no other man will ever have. And he said, since you did not ask for riches, I will give you riches on top of that. And he was the richest man that's ever lived. But then the Lord said to Solomon, and if you will serve me and follow me all the days of your life, I will add to your years. Solomon, for 20 years, lived for the Lord. The last 20 years he didn't, and he did not give him long life, which he would have had because the Lord promised it. I think of an account. I want to have you turn and hold your place here in Psalms. Turn back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 24. There's an interesting account concerning a couple of men. The man Jehoiada was the priest in the days of Joash. And he had a great influence on this young king that was made king of Judah when he was a boy, and because of the conditions that came about. In verse 2 of chapter 24, it makes a statement that Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And so this young boy had this godly priest that was counseling him and leading him, and he did right all the days. But look at verse 15 of this chapter and see what the Lord did. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. So, there's no question, the Lord extended the life of Jehoiada for his influence for good to the leader of his people, Israel, Joash, far beyond the normal lifespan of that day or any day since. 130 years. 50 years beyond the fourscore. And we don't have time, but in following that, immediately Joash started doing wrong after the death of Jehoiada. And so You see what Solomon could have had? Perhaps you and I, especially younger people here, if you do right in the sight of God, He can extend your days beyond what would have been otherwise. Because He's got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And if you and I will not serve the Lord, you'll find somebody else that will. He's never left Himself without His people since Adam and Eve. There's always been somebody that was a faithful witness for the Lord. It got down the days of Noah to 8 people. There were no more. You see, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. If by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power or the strength of thine anger? Even according to thy fear or thy terror, so is thy wrath. So teach us. How are we to be taught? Taught after this manner. So teach us. That's an imperative to number our days, to weigh out our days. You see, the Lord had the capability to have created the heaven and the earth, speak it into existence in one moment of time. Instead, He broke it into 6 days. Why? I believe that bears upon, so teach us to number our days. The Lord weighed out the days of creation even and divided the night from the darkness, and He called it day one, day two, so forth. And so He's telling us to weigh out our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. We weigh out the days with our mind, with information, with that which we can think upon. Then we apply that to our heart so that we, wisdom would be to weigh our day so that this day will mean something for eternity. How much time do you and I waste in the light of that? See, this is the prayer of the man of God, Moses. Weigh out that which we have to do with and to do each day, because that's what the Lord has given us, those days. Jehoiada weighed out what needed to be done in Israel and Judah, and He gave him all of those extra days because He weighed it out in God's sight, and God just kept prolonging His life. It's been said, and I believe this is the point, that what will last and be of any account, value in our life is what we can do to pass on the Word of God to the following generations. What involvement we have in that will be that which will last and count in God's sight. Our children, our grandchildren, acquaintances who we are brought in contact with, certainly the purpose of a church is borne out here. So teach us to weigh out our days. Pastor Strauss's purpose is centered upon that very thing. We can either submit and be a part of it, or we can say, I've got my own plans. I'm going to do what I want to do. The Lord will let us do it. But we need to weigh out every day. And I fall far short of that. Because I think if we look at ourselves, we do too. But we need to be on the road of, okay, today I'm going to weigh out my life. The input of the Word of God today is important. That's why we came out with an impending storm. And so, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, should be our prayer. Think of the things that he prayed about, and that might prepare our heart to weigh out our days. We close in a word of prayer for the message. Father, we do thank you for that which you've given, for the Word of God as it's been shown to us and pressed upon our heart. Might each one here be able to rejoice in that which you've done for the salvation that you've provided, for that which we have in way of service for this local church, this assembly of believers, that you might use us in this day, might each day be a new day to give ourselves in your behalf. And we're thankful for each one here for the privilege of being able to honor you with our lives and our being and our giving of ourselves and our means. In Christ's name, amen.